Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Walgren, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 40 of Brody Sports Talk, where we love the fact that it is the NFL offseason and a lot of crazy things happening. Derek, look over there. It's Captain Orange. Tag, you're it.
Hey, everybody. Good to be with you. We are in the offseason officially. And we certainly do know that with the off season comes new faces in new places, and some old faces staying with their teams. So I'm excited to talk about what we have to talk about tonight and the upcoming free agency. I think that that is probably one of the best times of the year for the football off season is free agency and seeing who gets overpaid.
Overpaid, underpaid, slightly paid, want to get paid, that's us. And it's a good time here on the pod. If any NFL teams would like to tag us to be their official podcast, please let us know on Twitter, at Brody Talk. We will gladly do this for around what T. Higgins got tagged for the year. Let's go ahead and get started talking about T. Higgins, Derek.
Yeah, hey, I'll even allow the Raiders to franchise tag us. I will talk about the Raiders left, right, and center if someone gives us T. Higgins money. And when we talk about T. Higgins money, that's what, $21.8 million for a wide receiver franchise tag. Am I correct on that, Caleb?
Yes, it is. T. Higgins was definitely the first player in this group to get tagged. He was the second round pick the year that they drafted Joe Burrow back in 2020. You know, the Bengals haven't built the way that Derek would say to build a team, that's for sure. They're not as excited about the insurance. You know, they're paying the mortgage, but then they're like, let's go put up some Christmas lights. They went and got T. Higgins. The next year they drafted Ja'Marr Chase. And T. Higgins, you know, I think that this is a little bit of a, we need to bring the band back together for another season. He missed time this past year. Some of his career lows in catches, yards, and touchdowns. But he, before that, had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and typically is a really good Robin to Ja'Marr Chase's Batman, if you will. I think T. Higgins wants to go be a wide receiver one somewhere and wants to get paid more. And I think that this is the best chance of team success. So it's interesting, and I'm kind of curious what how quickly T's going to want to sign this, because it's definitely great for the Bengals. I don't know that it's great for T. Derek, what do you think about this? Am I spilling too much tea? Do I need to go put on a different T-shirt? What are your thoughts about T. Higgins here?
So this is a good thing and a bad thing for T. Higgins all at the same time. So let's talk about the bad stuff first. You're on a one-year deal. You get hurt. You could be up a creek, no paddles, anything like that. On the good side is if you can stay healthy next year and you can show out with who you really are, because, I mean, I think he really is a really good receiver. I don't think he's, you know, upper tier where he's top five wide receiver in the league or anything like that, but he's certainly in that mid tier, you know, top 25, you know, tossing that in there somewhere. He could get paid on a nice wide receiver contract next year if he hits free agency. And if he doesn't hit free agency next year, well, then he goes into Kirk Cousins money, where you doubled up franchise tag gets you paid more than what your franchise tag is worth. So I like a lot of prove it years. I see a lot of contract year guys really have good years, and they go get that next big payday. And this kid, could be the year that, you know, if he does get that big payday after next season, it would be coming out of the shadow of Ja'Marr Chase. And it's, let's circle everybody up. Let's get going. You know, they're going to throw the ball down the field. That's what the Bengals are going to do. That's what, Burrow wants to do. If he can stay healthy, you know, let's push one big, you know, let's see if we can take down the Chiefs in the AFC. And T. Higgins is going to be a big piece of that. So I think it's certainly really good for the Bengals to do this, because I don't think that's an overpay, for the 1 year deal. But, let's see what T. Higgins can do this year, and hopefully gets a big payday next year.
Yeah, definitely. I know that he'll be looking for that big payday, and I think it's just a matter of when he has that opportunity, because I'm looking, and I definitely think that he could at least bring in a similar amount as to what the tag is, but on an annual basis, because that's coming in right between players like Terry McLaurin and DJ Moore. And I think that T. Higgins definitely is in that ballpark as far as who he is as a receiver. But let's go ahead and go from a receiver to the man that is covering the receivers and who went ahead and shut several of them down in the playoffs, and that is Chiefs defensive back Legarius Sneed, two-time Super Bowl champion Legarius Sneed, just to be clear. And they have gone ahead and granted him permission to seek a trade as well, but he is set to earn $19.8 million on the tag. Derek, I know this is in your division. You probably don't want him back. The Chiefs had a little bit of issue last year with the tag, but they're trying to keep that defense solid. What are your thoughts about Legarius here?
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit later on. We can keep all the Chiefs in the division all we want. The Broncos aren't going to do anything for the next 5 years or so. That being said, I think this is a smart thing to do for the Chiefs, because if someone does, you know, want to trade for them, they're going to get some compensation back. That's going to be, really good. And frankly, the Chiefs, I think, draft pretty well. They do their homework and they bring guys in that are going to, put together a really decent, player rotation guy. So, you know, if they do trade him, they're going to get the compensation back that they need. And, you know, then maybe you develop what if you take that pick that, he gets, you know, what do you think? Probably a third, maybe a second. Depending on which team it is. You take that second round pick, let's say, and you flip that into a good cornerback coming onto, in the draft. You know, they develop well, and Spags knows how to do defense. So, if he has to come back, you know, if they can't find that trade that is worth it, then I think once again, we're seeing a prove it year. And with everything that the Chiefs have, he could definitely be a spotlight guy and make a big payday next year. If he plays out this year, and, you know, a three-time Super Bowl champion looks pretty good too.
And, I mean, let's face it, he and McDuffie together do make a very difficult cornerback tandem. And I think that it was probably underrated as the season started, but as the season progressed, they were pretty fearsome together. So I'm happy for Legarius to get his here and to be able to continue to get paid on this contract. Let's go ahead and go from the best team in the league last year to, unfortunately, the worst team in the league last year. And that is going to get us some time to talk about Mr. Brian Burns. Derek, why don't I let you lead the way with Mr. Burns today?
Okay, so if I'm looking at this correctly, it's going to be 21.3 for him. Is that, would he be a defensive end?
It's 24. He's edge.
I don't even have edge on my list here.
Because Edge is listed as linebacker, I think that is what the difference is. So it bumps him up a little bit on that.
24 even. Okay, about 24 even. Yeah, bad move by the Panthers. I know that Brian Burns is a really good player and you want him around, but the Panthers need a lot of help. And wrapping up 24 in Burns, I don't know if he's the guy that is going to change your franchise for the year. I'm not even sure they should have used the franchise tag, frankly. I don't disagree that he needs to. They would want him on the team, and he's a really big part. But they need a lot of help. And what if you can use that money for a couple of receivers? What if you can, find. Honestly, what if you can find some offensive linemen that will come over to the Panthers for Young as your quarterback? I'm sure this money could have went somewhere better. I'm glad that Brian Burns is getting his 1 year payday, and hopefully this is his last year in the Panthers, and he finds some place that he could be more successful.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to me on this one is, I really just want to see how this ends up setting up for him. He's young. He's going to be 26 this fall when the season starts. Former first rounder. They already used the fifth round option on him. Now they're using the franchise tag on him. He's been solid since he entered the league. Yet, I do think that there is a lot more he can bring if he was just able to be on a better team. We're talking about someone 5 NFL seasons. He's put up 46 sacks, 95 quarterback hits. He goes out there and takes care of business week in and week out. And yet, despite the rotation of pretty much everything that has happened between Rule and then Reich, and now they have the guy, Dave Canales, as the new coach, and they have a new GM. Brian Burns sticks around. And I just want to see him play on a good team, Derek. And I think that he probably wants that as well. I don't know. The only other thing I think of with this is that Brian Burns is getting traded during the season. they can't keep tagging him. They do have too much invested in the rebuild, and they've been too stubborn the past few years to not trade him for picks when it was clear that they were not going to compete. So, in years when you fired your coach before the trade deadline, maybe you should also try to, trade your players and embrace the rebuild. Brian Burns, unfortunately, keeps being the best Panther, and the second best Panther, unfortunately, has been Sir Purr during his tenure out there because the Panthers have not had much of anything else after McCaffrey went to the Bay.
Yeah, I want to say before we move on much further, all the guys that we're going to talk about today, I am very happy that they're going to get their 1 year payday out there. I think they deserve their money. The only time that I would have a negative thought for these people is I think the teams make mistakes. So it's not because Brian Burns can't do anything about the team he's on. He can get paid a bunch of money to play on a really bad team and try to show out. But, I think the Panthers made a mistake here.
Next up, let's go to the interior of the defensive line, as there was a player that had a breakout year in Justin Madubuike of the Ravens. I'm sorry if I stole your thunder there, Derek. I know you wanted to say Justin's name here on the podcast today. I'll let you have a chance here in a moment. But he did go out this past year, put up 13 sacks, 33 quarterback hits, and was really one of the best players on the league's, I'm going to say the league's best defense this past year, Derek. That might be a bit of an overreach, but the Ravens were the lowest scoring defense until they couldn't get past the Chiefs, and I don't think that's Justin's fault. So he's set to get $22 million this coming year. Again, he's young. He'll be 26 most of this year, 27 this fall. The only reason that this is sad for me is that he really kind of went and exploded onto the scene this past year. And while I think the tag might work well, I mean, he's made $6 million in his four seasons in the NFL. $22 million, I mean, that's three times that. That's great. It's also a, I need to be able to sign my contract and get my guaranteed money when I can. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll say that probably for most of the people on this list, but he'll be staying with a defense that he potentially knows, because the Ravens lost a lot of defensive coaches. And I want to see him continue to succeed. Any other thoughts about Mr. Madubuike?
Yeah, I love me some Justin Madubuike. I practiced before the podcast to say his name, and I feel like I've hit it pretty well. So he is a bright spot in, once again, the Ravens just, they don't have an off year or anything like that. They just reload. They're going to find a guy who's going to be amazing. They draft well. They do things really well. And this is the same thing. I do think that this is a mutually assured piece that I think that you want to keep him around. You want to keep him in the building, hopefully get a long-term deal, because we've seen what he can do. I think this is a tag to get him in a conversation for a more long-term deal. And so I think the Ravens want to keep him. I think he wants to stay on the Ravens. And I think he's going to get some money no matter what he does, because I think he deserves it. And so this is a good move by the Ravens, a good move to get the money in Justin's pocket. I mean, any time that you can get 1 year and get, what, two or three times what you've made in your entire career.
Not a bad year.
No, I mean, you're doing pretty well. So
I would take a year where I made three and a half times what I've made in my career so far. Just saying.
Hey, I'll give you a fiver next time I see you, so I can, you know, five times your annual salary. I feel that there are times that we don't get paid enough for what we do, not on the podcast. I think this is a mutually good thing for the Ravens, because I don't think there was anyone else that I would really say they had to keep.
Let's go from the Ravens and let's go back to the NFC South. As we jump aboard the pirate ship and talk about the Bucks, as Antoine Winfield Jr. is tagged, they did not want him to walk the plank. They want him to stay aboard. Fantastic year for him last year, Derek. Three interceptions, 12 pass deflections, 6 forced fumbles, and 6 sacks. Like, probably the best year he's had in his career. He's 25 years old. He'll be 26 this fall. Again, I hope that he gets a big payday. And the Bucks needed to bring him back. Like, he was fantastic on that defense. And if the Bucks are hoping to make a bigger leap next year, they're going to need to be able to retain what they have on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, if any team of the four of them want to win the South, someone please win the South, it's going to be with guys like Antoine Winfield Jr. Anytime that he's on the field, it's like he's shot out of a cannon when he runs down the field. So this is a good move by the Bucks. Glad that this guy is finally getting his, you know, getting some money out of this, finally getting I think people understanding who he is and what he's doing, I think getting more accolades, you know, that does come with the franchise tag, because, you know, that's kind of putting the, hey, this is our guy that we have to keep. And then that kind of, you know, raises your level of, notoriety around the league. I mean, of course, there's a couple of guys that I would want to use that tag on. We'll talk about one of them here in just a little bit. But I think that because of a conversation with another player that is a free agent, this was the best thing that they could do for the Bucks. And you want to keep that guy on your defense, because that defense is going to win you games in the South.
Well, let's go to a player that has the same name as a famous quarterback, but actually plays in sunny Florida as well, and that is Josh Allen, the edge rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Derek, I don't know if I knew this, and perhaps it's the name duplication here, Josh Allen was second in the NFL in sacks last year with 17.5 sacks. Yes, Jaguars, you need to tag him immediately. You're saying that you need to have a good edge rusher against young, movable quarterbacks in CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson and possibly Will Levis, if you want to call him mobile. How is Trevor Lawrence is the oldest quarterback in that division?
Yeah.
Oh man. But the lesser known Josh Allen got tagged for $24 million this year. I feel like this was one of the easiest decisions that could be made. Derek, what do you think about Josh Allen, getting tagged and then bringing him back to be, the dual edge rushers with Trayvon Walker?
Yeah, so this is a must tag. You know, you've heard stories where someone will fall in a later round or fall to in a pick, and you hear the guys, they've taken the card and they rush it up to the commissioner because we got our guy. This is the fastest a fax has ever gone to the NFL offices. Hey, we're franchising this dude. No, we're not the Buffalo Bills. We're the Jaguars, the other side of the, you know, the south side of the country. Yeah, because you have a plan in place. And this is a piece of your plan. This is, you know, a corner piece to your puzzle. And, I hope, because I like watching him in Jacksonville, that I hope that this is a stopgap where they can pay him a bunch of money to stay in Jacksonville, and moving forward he will stay in the what color is that, the black and gold,
teal,
and I didn't know what to, you know, what a jag, what color a jaguar was.
Well, the Jaguars I don't know how teal is supposedly a jaguar color. I think it's the eye color they give the jaguar. But it definitely feels like it could be out of place.
Ever played in teal jerseys?
Yes.
Okay, I imagine. I have blocked that out of my head. I know we're talking about uniforms. We're supposed to be talking about guys. A good tag by the Jaguars.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's switch it up. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears, a team in my division where it's always a little interesting to see what they're going to do. They went ahead and tagged Jalen Johnson, the defensive back. He's going to be getting $19.8 million this coming year. And Derek, he's turning 25 next month. Like, he's so young. Been in the NFL for a couple of seasons. Had his best year, 4 interceptions, including a pick 6, another 10 passes deflected. He's definitely been, he made second team all pro. I'm going to say this. So, you know, the Bears, this is $19.8 million for Jalen Johnson. The Bears are still listed as having $57 million in cap space. So, and they might go with a cheaper quarterback this coming year if they can help it. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens here. A lot of talent on that defense. When you think about it, this is kind of a Matt Eberflus defense they're putting together. Montez Sweat on the D-line, Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker, and Jalen Johnson at corner. It's just going to be interesting to see if they can continue to get the pieces there, because they have a lot of building blocks. I think it'll be interesting. I don't know that I'm so sold on Jalen Johnson. Again, like most people, I want him to get his money. Insert show me the money clip here. And especially if he's getting it from the Bears, that means they can't pay other people. So definitely pay Jalen Johnson a lot of money. Any thoughts here on Jalen?
I think this is an overpay because of the number that comes with cornerbacks. 19.8 is a bunch of money. I know that they have the money to kind of throw around, but they're going to have to get good really quickly. And wouldn't it be great to have, an additional $10 million this year and also and pay someone else $9 million to cover that cornerback spot? Once again, good for Johnson to get that payday. He's earned his money, but at the same time, I don't think the Bears, had to do this. I think that there is some better options. We'll see what they do this offseason. We'll talk about free agencies in the coming weeks and the draft in the coming weeks. And what the Bears are going to do.
I will say this, Derek. As we talk about the tags, we're seeing a lot of safeties and corners that have been tagged. There's not a lot of corners that are hitting the market this year. Mm-hmm. So unless you're thinking that you're going to snag someone in the draft at that spot, while I don't love the amount as well, I do think that the Bears of all teams can play with it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and switch it up and talk about another player that did not get the franchise tag, but got another tag. And that is the transition tag. Kyle Duggar for the Patriots. Derek, what are your thoughts about the transition tag and how crazy that is?
I don't even know what a transition tag is. Is it saying that, hey, this is going to be our guy in the future or something like that? Like, does that mean that, let's see.
Let me give some clarifiers
for
you, okay? So, instead of it being the average of the top five salaries at the position, it's a little bit lower. It's the average of the top 10. So they're saying, Kyle, we like you, but we're not going to pay you quite that much money. And with that, it means that he is getting 13.8 this year, which compared to Antoine Winfield, who's getting 17. Sorry, Kyle, you're not Antoine Winfield level safety, but we get to have you for 13.8, and another club could try to sign him.
Okay, so it's like restricted free agency in the NBA where we can match the offer sheet.
Yes. Time to see if someone signs Kyle Duggar to a poison pill contract. Or is that only an NBA term, Derek?
I'm not sure what the Patriots are doing nowadays. Gerard Mayo is probably a pretty good coach. But yeah, I would love to see somebody with a bunch of money and knowing that they're not going anywhere to just like overpay him for 2 years and just like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to match that?
Who knows? It'll be interesting. I do think it's somewhat funny because I remember the statement that Mayo made at the start of when he was brought in that the team was going to burn cash in free agency. And here we are at the tag deadline and they're already spending less money on a tag than anyone else trying to save their money.
I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I mean, if that's what makes you happy, people. I mean, he's not, you know, we no longer have an iron-fisted GM, coach combo. So, you know, this might be the new improved Patriots.
Well, let's go from, Kyle Duggar. Let's go to the last player to be tagged on my list today. And that is Michael Pittman Jr., the big time target for the Indianapolis Colts. Derek, last year he put up 109 catches for 1,152 yards, only four touchdowns, but he was really the guy getting the ball, getting things going on the receiving side for the Colts offense with the mustachioed man at quarterback this past year, Gardner Minshew, throwing the ball for most of the year. I don't know that I've ever called him the mustachioed man. I don't know where I'm coming from with this, but it's working.
I like it.
So I'm somewhat puzzled because I feel like there's a lot of love out there for Michael Pittman. He's been a good player. Like, I'm looking even with the inconsistency at quarterback the last several years, 88, 99, and then 109 catches the last three, right at or over 1,000 receiving yards three straight years. But only in the last 3 years, we're talking a total of 14 touchdowns. And I know touchdowns are not the end all be all, but they sure are nice. And I just am curious if paying Michael Pittman the big time tag money on this is really the best thing for the Colts. $21.8 million, Derek. What are your thoughts here?
So I think this is a move for your almost rookie quarterback. Having somebody there who, I mean, Michael Pittman would get a lot of interest on the open market, and the Colts are going to have to overpay to keep him in the building. But he's a guy that you have to keep in your building and that you want in your building. I've watched a good amount of Colts games this year and heard a lot of chatter on Pittman. This might be a little bit of an overpay for the Colts, but I think that they're okay with this so that they have someone in their building. They have a receiver that Anthony Richardson can go to, you know, with his, I mean, I know he's a more runner type but getting the ball down the field is very important. And, so having that guy on your team, at least for this year, to see what you actually have in your quarterback is important. So I think this is, you know, you'd want him at a lower number, but at the same time, I think the Colts are okay with that number.
I think that's fair, and I think it's also one of those things. We'll talk about some of the free agents, like we said, coming up here a little bit later. There's not another Michael Pittman coming through that door in free agency. So if you want to know that you have him and you have him for the possession target, the big target that he is, yes. Not quite a tight end, but size-wise, he's just as versatile, and you definitely want to have him on your team.
That's exactly correct. So do we want to move on from the franchise tag to some other news, Caleb?
Yeah, let's go to the other NFL news and the things that have been going on, because one of the things that happened this past week is that there was an official retirement of a man who made our team of the 20s so far and our team of 2023 at center. And that, of course, is Jason Kelce. Man,
yeah,
it's going to be weird to not see him next year. Derek, I know you're the O-line guy. I'll stop and let you go.
Yeah, I am so excited to talk about this. He had a 42-minute press conference to announce his retirement, and it took 39 minutes for him to get to actually saying that I'm retiring. Everyone knew what was happening, but by the way he was talking. But if you have not seen it, take the time, find some time and go watch his press conference. I cried many, many times with just the emotion that he had, the love that he has for his team, for his family, for everyone that is in the Eagles organization. Just the love of football that oozes out of this man. I never want to see one of the greats step away. Even last year, he was the best at win rate at the position. So, like, he talked about hanging it up at the end of last year and, came back for one more run. And he was still really, really, really good at his position. And we're going to see a lot more of Jason Kelce, the man, versus Jason Kelce, the football player, moving forward. He is charismatic. He is authentic. And he is someone that you can just look into his eyes, and this man loves football. And just that passion pours out. So, from Brody Sports Talk, we say congratulations on an amazing 13-year career, Mr. Kelce, and thank you for what you have brought to the sport, to the podcasting world, and to men in general, because the way he talks about his wife and his kids, his mom and dad and brother, is just something that I think men of this generation need to learn, and that they need to hear, that we don't always have to be that manly, stoic person. It's okay to cry. And, when you're passionate about something, and the dude, he's a great dude.
I will completely second a lot of that. It's been fun to see what comes from the New Heights podcast. I have yet to, and I regret that I have yet to, but I have not yet watched the Kelce documentary that is out there of when they thought he was potentially going to retire. But I believe that's on Amazon Prime. Amazon,
it is, and it's very
you can sponsor us if you want to. But, I think in general, one of the things that I value about even just being able to do the podcast is that I always put a lot of value in people being their authentic self and people showing up and being who they are in every situation. And I don't think that there is a bone in Jason's body that is not authentic to who he is. If he's going to wear the Batman mask or the underdog mask when they were going on their Super Bowl run, he tells it like it is. He tells exactly what he is thinking, no filter. And yeah, sometimes that might not be what you want children to hear, but it is sometimes like just refreshing to see that he's not going to hide because of anything. And kudos to Jason. Congratulations on retirement. You can join us whenever you want if you happen to catch this. He might. So we'll see what happens.
Open invitation.
Next up, though, as far as the news is concerned, we're talking about the guy that did not get tagged by the Bucks because he got his payday early, and that is Mike Evans. Mr. 1,000 yards a season, possibly the player that should have the stadium named after him by the time he's done with his career, because he has been in Tampa Bay since he was drafted there in 2014. Great extension that came his way. 2 years, $41 million contract. He's making some nice money. $29 million guaranteed at signing. He's getting a lot of cash out of this. And let's face it, if he is top 10 in receiving catches, yards, or touchdowns this past year, he's getting $2 million. Like, his contract goes up $3 million next year if he has 70 catches, 1,000 receiving yards, and 10 touchdowns, which, let's face it, he pretty much does that every season. Like, it's a Mike Evans world down there in Tampa, and it hasn't mattered if it is, you know, Tom Brady, Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield. It doesn't matter who is throwing the ball. He's getting it done. And so kudos to Mike Evans, a player that I just have enjoyed seeing tear it up year after year after year with his consistency and just, my goodness, man, how do you keep doing it? Derek, anything you want to say about Mike Evans here?
Yeah, so this is the guy that I was talking about. You know, probably should have gotten the franchise tag, but for the Bucs rather than Antoine Winfield Jr. But, you know, they got the deal done before that actually had to happen, which is good for all parties involved. Mike Evans is so underrated, even with the fanfare that he does get. You know, year after year, season after season, you know, hopefully this takes him to, you know, close to the end of his career. Maybe he gets one more contract from the Bucks, you know, depending on what happens after that. But I love to see a guy who gets drafted by a team and spends his entire career with one team. And this is a little bit of a, we're going to pay you because of your, you know, what we think we're going to do in the future, but also, hey, you've done a really good job for us, so we're going to pay you this money that, you know, a little bit more than maybe some people may think that you should get, because of what you've done in the past. So like a payday after putting up those numbers. So, a good thing for all teams involved. This is going to help, you know, the Bucks continue to be playoff bound.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about another player that was signed recently, and that is Dalton Schultz by the Houston Texans. 3-year, $36 million, $23.5 million guaranteed at signing. Derek, what are your thoughts about Dalton down there in Houston?
Yeah, so he's got a really great quarterback that is very cheap right now, that won't be cheap in a few seasons. So it's good to get some of the safety valve guys. You know, Dalton Schultz has been all over the state of Texas, and does a really good job at what he does. He's a good signing by the Texans for a team that is clearly, you know, a step away from getting where they need to be. I think they've got their coach. I think they've got their quarterback. I think they've got receivers, and I think they've got, you know, the defense set up to win the AFC South. So I think that this is a piece that you keep around, as someone who knows your quarterback, knows the tendencies, and can be, you know, a blocker, catcher, everything you need.
When we talk about people getting paid and getting their money, Dalton Schultz is definitely finally getting that, Derek. I'm not sure if he'll make it to the final year of this contract when it's not guaranteed, but even if he doesn't and he gets the 2 years and $24 million, basically all the guaranteed cash that's on here, in his six seasons in the NFL, he's made $22 million. And part of that included
more than that.
Yeah, and that includes a $10 million franchise tag season with Dallas. So, like, Dalton Schultz, the name, I feel like, yes, he's done great. He's done wonderful things for the teams he's been on, but he's never really gotten the big-time money. Now he's getting the big-time money. He kind of had that one-year, $6 million deal last year with the Texans where it was kind of like, let's see how this works. We're doing a new quarterback, new offense. Let's see how this fit is. And this is a, hey, and I kind of agree with what you say. Stroud's on his rookie deal. We're not going to have to worry about how much he's getting for the next three seasons while he, yeah. before we pick up that fifth year option. Dalton Schultz will be here for all three of those seasons. Like, let's keep the man happy as he continues developing into an NFL quarterback. Easy decision. Easy decision here.
Yeah, no, I thought he would have gotten a payday before that, but you know, I'm glad he's getting his money. He has earned it, and he's been a consistent guy that and one of those guys around the league that definitely has done some things. So good for him. So we're moving on to the quarterback news for my Broncos there, Caleb.
Yeah, it's time to talk about two teams that were involved in a fateful trade a couple of seasons ago.
Uh-huh.
And all of the players that they are getting rid of. We'll start with the Broncos. Wow. What an awkward moment it has to be when they say, we would rather take $85 million against our salary cap this year than to pay you to be on our team this year. Russell Wilson, let's go somewhere else. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Horrible, horrible experience for him in Denver. The Nathaniel Hackett experience did not go well. The Sean Payton experience for him arguably might have been worse. Like, it is ugly for Russell. I don't even know that I know what to say about this, Derek, other than when he was traded there back in 2022, one of the first big moves, you know, as the new ownership was coming in September, they signed him to a 5-year, $242 million contract extension with $124 million guaranteed. That contract extension is supposed to start this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention everything that they gave up to get him. How does George Patton still have a job? What the heck is going on with this team right now? Because clearly, just two or three things. I'm going to just go quick. You should have promoted Edgerow Evero to head coach. And you should have won a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. That's like how everything was supposed to go. It is not going that way. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so this is the quarterback for my team, and I get it. You know, we are trying to move very quickly because we gave up a lot for a lot of the pieces that we have. You know, we gave up a lot for Russell Wilson. I mean, a number five overall pick to the Seahawks. Would, you know, it turns out what we had when we got him on the team. But this year he had 26-8. Wasn't a horrible year. A 66.4 completion percentage, 3,000 yards. I mean, it was a lot of checkdowns and it was a lot of completions. Was running after the play, stuff like that. I mean, I get that it wasn't downfield stuff. I think the biggest issue was we traded for him and then we gave him an extension. And I get that, hey, we don't want to give up all these picks if we think this guy is going to be the future of our franchise. You know, we want to keep him around for 5 years, whatever. Because we saw what happened with Peyton Manning. You know, two Super Bowl appearances, one win, like we bring in a veteran quarterback, guy's been around, guy's already won a Super Bowl before, and needs a change of pace, needs a new location. We have a new head coach with Sean Payton and doing things. It's you know, we're going to move forward. It's going to be great. And neither one of them were comfortable with the other one. Russell Wilson wasn't comfortable with Sean. Sean wasn't comfortable with Russell Wilson and his team. And so it just, you could see the writing on the wall. Like, man, they overpaid for this guy money-wise, not just with picks. I mean, if he turns out pretty well, then, you know, the money isn't, the picks aren't worth much. But turns out it wasn't a great first season, so, you know, it was a top five pick. And then with Cortland Sutton, with Jerry Jeudy, with Tim Patrick, with the guys that you have on your team, you should be a much better offense. I mean, on paper, you should be a much better offense. And so taking $85 million in just dead cap money is absolutely crazy. I read earlier that it was more than twice the amount of the next highest dead cap hit ever. So, I mean, at this point, what are you going to do over the next couple of years that you think that you have the 12th overall pick right now? What are you going to be able to get? Bo Nix? Maybe J.J. McCarthy? Michael Penix? If he falls, which right now there's a lot of guys that are moving up in the draft versus moving because of the combine that just happened. Like, you're not in a good space to get a super great generational quarterback. So why are you getting rid of this guy? He's serviceable, at least. He's top half of the NFL. What are we doing? I'm going to agree with Caleb here, and I've never thought I was going to say this, but George Patton has to go. Bye. Get him out of the building. I don't know what the ownership group is thinking, because it's okay to waste $85 million when you own Walmart, but it still affects your cap space and who you're going to be able to keep on the team. And this is going to affect your team for 2 years. This isn't, oh, we're going to have a really bad offseason this year, but next year we're going to get things off of our books and we're going to be good. This is going to happen again next year. So what are you planning on doing? Why can't you draft the guy that you want at 12 this year? And Jordan Lovett, just put him on the bench for 2 years and see, and then have him learn under your team. I don't understand what the future holds with this at all. Like, it doesn't make sense. And you know another team is just going to pick him up for $7 and stick the Broncos with $39 million this year. Like, he's going to take veteran minimum. He's going to go to the Steelers, or he's going to go to the Falcons, or maybe the Bucks or something like that. And they're going to pay him a little bit over veteran minimum. And he's just going to make bank this year, not playing for the Broncos.
I'm just going to say this, and this might be a bit of a hot take. Don't go hire old coaches that used to be coaches in the NFC South. It didn't work out when the Raiders were like, you know what? Gruden. That guy used to be so good. I love watching him do quarterback breakdowns. No, it was a disaster. Then the Sean Payton reboot. I just don't think I'm buying it. I know that there was less time. I just don't think I'm buying it. I will say, Derek, and this might even drive you more nuts, that I was looking at a mock draft by Lance Zierlein today where they have the Broncos trading up 2-9 to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
So then again, like, there's more draft capital that you're losing to invest in a quarterback that may or may not fit.
And so, again, you're starting JJ week one? Is that what you're doing?
Like, you're not starting Jarrett Stidham over him.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would have said the same thing about the end of last year, too, so I don't know that I know what the Broncos are doing.
Oh, I don't know. You're going to play his former head coach twice a year. Like, Harbaugh is in L.A. He's a Charger head coach.
That'd be funny. Maybe not funny for you.
That's fair. I think we move on. I'm done with these Broncos. Hey, listeners, I need a new team. I'm going to get rid of the Broncos for 2 years. I can't be their fan. Tweet at us and tell me who I should follow for the next 2 years and why. Again, short recap. Because at this point, I'm really almost on the Packer bandwagon.
I definitely need to get this fired up on the Twitter account, because you can at him at Derek Rusnick if you don't know how to spell Derek. It's the same way as Derek Stingley. But if you don't know that, I'll put it in our Twitter. We will get this pinned. Usually, I try to run some sort of like March Madness type competition of who should, like, and I might just put it out there, like, which team should Derek become a fan of, and get the NFL hashtags in there and see if we can get some votes to get him a different NFL team. I'll probably give the Packers a bye, because we don't want to include the Broncos on this list. So,
yeah, I'm.
There are worse options, but let's talk about the team that got the other side of that trade and decided that they don't need any kind of safeties. They also said no Disley. We gotta get rid of all of the Disley around here. And yeah, the Seahawks went. They cut Jamal Adams. They cut Quandre Diggs. They cut Will Disley. And it's like, okay, something tells me Mike McDonald does not coach the defense the way that Pete Carroll used to. We gotta get some different people around here. I'll admit, Jamal Adams, to me, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, he was a bigger name than I think he was player the last few years. But I wasn't necessarily expecting to see Quandre Diggs get cut right away or anything like that. Were you surprised, Derek? What do you think is going down in the Pacific Northwest here?
Okay, so this is an unsafe team. You no longer have safety. Both your starting safeties are gone. What in the world are you doing? Like you said, Jamal Adams, you know, cool. Whatever. Quandre Diggs is a really good player. And Will Disley, I mean, I'm much of a fan of Noah Fant as the next guy, but Will Disley has done more for your team on the offensive side than just about any other tight end that you have. Like, are you all of a sudden going to, I mean, are we just starting from the bottom and redoing everything? Like, Mike McDonald does understand that the Ravens built their team and it took a little while to get it going. Like, I'm not sure how long of a leash he has.
I don't know. All I know is I was looking at this. I mean, no offense, a free agent, too.
Oh, well, like, then I don't know.
Like, so. And so is Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks. Is there a face of the defense? Like, they traded for Leonard Williams last year. We're going to talk about him in a minute. He's a free agent, too. Like, new year, new Seahawks. Let's at least, I feel like we can at least get that hashtag potentially started, because it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot coming back to the team this year.
Can you name three Seahawks after the people on the roster currently?
The only reason people can is because they play fantasy football and they know the receivers.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Okay, DK Metcalf. Yeah.
Yep.
Got that one.
The speedster that went to K-State.
I'm blanking on that name. Never mind.
Tyler Lockett.
Of course. I'm dumb. Yeah.
And then their first round pick from last year. People really call him JSN because it's saying Jackson Smith and Jigba is way too complicated.
There you go.
Fair. Let's get into some of where we think people may end up landing during free agency, Derek, because it's a weird time in the NFL season. It has been a crazy start to this with the tags that have happened and the signings that have happened and now the people who've been cut. So, let's start with some quarterbacks here. Kirk Cousins did not get tagged. Do you see him back in Minnesota doing the skull chant, or where do you see Kirk Cousins ending up this next year?
So this is really funny that Kirk Cousins is the bell of the ball on the quarterback level. Like he was a couple of years back. Like it's as if that this Tom Brady, all of a sudden has come back or something like that. Kirk Cousins is going to stay in Minnesota. He's got a good, head coach. He's got a winnable division. Not saying that the Packers aren't good. The Packers are really good and they're going to, to be great moving forward. Detroit has had a great run the last couple of years, but you go on a really, get on a really good offensive streak. That team has some talent. And I think just about any of those three teams could win the division any given year, depending on injuries, stuff like that. So you have a winnable division. You can make the playoffs in the NFC pretty decently, regularly. And you have a coach that's bent toward what you do well. So I don't know if you want to go, especially at Kirk Cousins' age and how long he's been in the league, I don't know if he wants to go to another program that he's going to have to relearn and take a year or two to get accustomed to what they do. I think he stays in Minnesota, and I think he makes them sweat it out a little bit. But we all saw what happened after he went down, and how many quarterbacks they used, and the one good year of the one good game of the Pastrnak, and what happened after that. So, yeah, I think Kirk Cousins goes back to Minnesota.
Can I give you a take that I've read and I think might be an alternate universe, but it might be a little bit spicy here?
I want it.
So Kirk Cousins takes his talents to Atlanta.
I saw that too.
What happens is Kevin O'Connell is a Sean McVay disciple.
Yeah.
Zach Robinson is a Sean McVay disciple. You're not going to have to learn that much of a different offense. You're coming in. Zach Robinson's calling the plays. You, again, have probably someone who you are going to get along with well in him. You've got so many young targets around you. You have one of the youngest running backs that's elite back there with you. You definitely don't have an elite running back with you in Minnesota. So you get Bijan, you get huge targets like Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Like, you can't miss him, Kirk. And you just go out there. And let's face it, would you rather go through the Panthers, Saints, and Bucks to try to win the division and make the postseason? Or do you want to keep going up against the Packers and the Lions that are now out there? It's a probably easier path if you go to Atlanta. So I at least think that there's some viability to the reports.
It's not a bad post. It's a really good, you make a lot of good points. That being said, yeah, that's
it's different. It's definitely a different one.
Man, now you're making me think. I don't like to think.
Well,
it hurts.
Well, let's switch it up. Let's switch it up here because after Kirk Cousins, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Baker Mayfield. You know, he went and planted a flag at the Ohio State Stadium, and now he's currently been playing for a team that has a flag as their logo. What a coincidence. I do think that, you know, Mike's back. Baker wants to be back. He's been around NFL franchises. He's been places where, you know, he's been on the Panthers when it was not a good organization. He's been on the Browns when they basically got rid of him for no apparent reason. I think that Baker sees the respect that Tampa gave him last year. He came in, he earned the job over Kyle Trask, thank goodness. And I think that they want him back. I think he's coming back. I think it's just getting the financials in order. And I think someone would really have to overpay for Baker to say that he wants to go elsewhere, because I don't feel like he's the guy who wants to be somewhere just because of the money. I think he wants to be somewhere because of the fit. And that's why I think Baker goes back to Tampa. What do you think, Derek? I know you're a Baker lover. What do you think of this?
Yeah, no, this is exactly what I was thinking as well. So he could, you know, go find a place with a bunch of money, and say, hey, I want to get my shine back. I want to get my, I was a number one pick. I deserve to get people happy about me. But I think at the same time, a lot of what the moves that have already been made this week with the Bucks are telling me that Baker's coming back. Baker wasn't tagged. They haven't announced a new contract with him. Anything like that. I think, and you know, there was some hot mic stuff that happened during the Super Bowl week while he was talking, like that he was talking as if he was still part of the team. Hey, we're going to bring this guy back. Hey, we're looking at this. We're looking at this in the draft, blah, blah, blah. And I think there were some conversations that were had with him that, that the writing's on the wall. I think, like you said, numbers are there. I certainly wouldn't mind him in Atlanta. We were just talking about that a minute ago. Because, I mean, I don't know if he would play for a former Oklahoma State Cowboy at the OC position. I don't think he would ever talk to the, you know, like, okay, we need a
wazzle. Zach Robinson calls him to play, and Baker just goes, no. And then,
no. You'll need a waggle right. XZ, Cheetah, nah, man, no. He turns over, grabs his crotch, and doesn't shake his hand or something. That's just Baker Mayfield.
It's very possible.
Thinking that, you know, with, hey, we have a really good running back, we have a good tight end, you know, and then we have a good coach, you know, down there, exciting. But at the same time, you know, Bucks, Falcons, be tough to come back to that. So I think he ends up in Tampa Bay. And I think that's the best place for him.
So let's talk about, this next individual, and let's talk about Russ too. I didn't put him in here in the free agent predictions, but we gotta at least bring him up. They've got to have somewhere they're landing. Jacoby Brissett, you know, when he came on for the Commanders last year, he made the offense look good, which is saying something because Sam Howell sure as heck did not make it look good. I'm going to go out there with a take that I think for Jacoby Brissett. You tell me, love it or hate it. I think Jacoby Brissett goes and takes a $6 to $7 million contract for 1 year with the Jets. I think that they say, yeah, we're not doing this Zach Wilson thing. Aaron is the starter, but we saw what happened when he's not available. And Jacoby goes holds a clipboard for part of the year and hopefully doesn't have to play at all, but make his nice payday because he's Jacoby Brissett. And I feel like everyone values a little bit about what he brings to the offense. What do you think about Jacoby to the Jets?
Don't mind it. I think that he does a really good job of warming up benches.
All right. Well, let's say Russell goes somewhere. Where do you see Russell Wilson being a fit?
So at this point, I think it's got to be in Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't think Kenny Pickett's the answer. I think there's some talent there with Najee Harris and with George Pickens. And I think that Mike Tomlin will not put up with anything with what's being said. And I think this is a what do we have? You know, we cannot waste any more of TJ Watt's career. We have, you know, like everyone's getting a little older. What, you know, are we going to make a push for it? And Arthur Smith being there, I think that he, I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I like what he did when he was in Tennessee. So I could see Russ in Pittsburgh easily.
So I'm curious in one spot where I think it would be a potentially odd fit, and I think it would just be a little bit of a let's stick it back to that team. The Raiders have dire need of quarterbacks.
Oh yeah.
Aiden O'Connell and Brian Hoyer are not the answers, and they're picking after you at 13. I think if Russell wants revenge, that revenge goes to Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know that it will work, but I think that is at least a viable option. Let's switch positions here, Derek. Running back, Saquon Barkley is the biggest name. There are technically a ton of free agent running backs. Several players that had gotten tagged last year and just didn't this year. So I think Saquon is going to be arguably, not that I would say he will be the highest paid, but I think that he is the most game changer at running back this coming year, which is saying a lot. Derrick Henry, Jacobs, Pollard, Eckler, like there's some solid names available if you want to go find a running back. Do you see a landing spot for Saquon that maybe I'm missing? Where should he end up?
Okay, so we talked about him a minute ago, but I think that Saquon in Minnesota makes a lot of sense to me. You know, you have what I believe is going to be a pass happy offense. You've got the greatest wide receiver arguably in the NFL right now in Jefferson. Putting, you know, Saquon in there changes the defense. You might be able to get some better looks with your receivers. You know, defenses change. Saquon's put in some really hard yards and really done a good job. So I think people respect him. So that's where I could see, something like that. Unfortunately, I think that most of those running backs that you said are definitely not going to get paid what they're worth.
I mean, I'm going to go with what I think is potentially the most fun for me. And that's because there's just a lot of interesting things. I think Saquon to the Ravens is the most fun.
Oh yeah.
Let's see how people try to defend that offense when it's Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley doing the zone read. Because let's face it, I'm going to say since Mark Ingram has left, J.K. Dobbins has gotten hurt several years in a row. Keaton Mitchell, I think, would be an electric change of pace back to Saquon so that Saquon's not having to get all of the touches. and they still like to throw the ball. So I think if Saquon says, hey, you know what, I want to stay on the East Coast, I want to be somewhere I'm a little bit more familiar with, being someone who went to Penn State, kind of knows that northeastern-ish area, I think Baltimore is not a bad area to go. Yeah. Plus, you're going to a team that was a contender and could give you a big shot at trying to go get a ring. I don't think that they're going to pay him the most, but I think that it's the most fun idea that I have.
It's a really good idea, and I think it is – I mean, I hope that he can stay healthy because all the other ones – all the other running backs get hurt up there.
That's true. Well, let's switch positions here as we go from running back to receiver. Calvin Ridley is hitting the market. Now, some people might say that higher profile free agents like Odell Beckham or Marquez Valdez-Scantling should be potentially who we're talking about here. But I wanted to talk about Ridley because he's had just a bit of an odd journey on his career. I wouldn't say that he, like, popped up big for the Jags last year. It was him and Christian Kirk, and, like, he was one of the guys. He did not seem like he was the guy. And let's face it, if he goes back to a team, he would be better served to be the second man like he was behind Julio Jones for his young years in Atlanta. At least I think that would be the case. I don't think he should get paid like a number one receiver. All of that being said, Derek, where do you think it would be fun to see him?
Or where do you see him going? We're going ring chasing. We're going ring chasing, and I'm putting Calvin Ridley on the Chiefs. He would be the second pass catching option. Patrick Mahomes is going to get the ball downfield. You're replacing MVS. Everyone is going to key on Kelsey. And you have opportunities to mentor Sky Moore and, the other guys that are there, you know, because you put a lot of years into, I mean, I say a lot of years. You've put in some hard years into the league. You've been around enough that you know how to play football. And Andy Reid is going to be able to resurrect your career. So let's say 2 years, you know, $22, $23 million to go to the Chiefs, and try it out.
I'm going to potentially have him ring chasing, but doing it a little bit differently. I'm taking him to Buffalo. Okay. Gabe Davis is going to be a free agent. I don't think Khalil Shakur is really a big enough name to step in as a number two there. Stephon Diggs can be the number one. And if Calvin Ridley is willing to accept being a number two receiver, my goodness, is he a huge step up from Gabe Davis, in my opinion. So I think that with Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid at tight ends, it just gives them another weapon and another way to attack teams in the passing game. I will say, as I look at receiving corps, man, do I find some of them to be very disappointing. The Giants desperately would love to have someone like Calvin Ridley. It's not smooth out there for a lot of teams right now. I mean, I think even the Panthers would love it, but like you said, the Panthers don't have a lot of extra money to spend because they are giving it all to Brian Burns. So I'll say the Bills, and we'll see what happens because you never know what's going to happen. Derek, are you ready to talk about the big fellas?
Big fellas? Oh, we actually get to talk about those guys?
Yes. So let's go ahead and switch it up. We're going to talk about Mike Onwenu, the offensive guard. He also played offensive tackle a little bit this past year for the New England Patriots. What do you kind of see? What do you think will happen with him this offseason?
So you just said it a minute ago. They overpaid for their franchise guys, but they're going to overpay for offensive line talent as well because they need it. And I'm putting him with the Panthers. They are going to do whatever they possibly can to keep Bryce Young upright. And with a guy who plays guard, you're going to want to run the ball, and Chuba Hubbard is a decent enough running back. I mean, I think he came from a great school, but, you know, he's not making flashy plays too much. If he can play guard, he can jump out to tackle a little bit, then you're going to be more versatile. And, you know, guys go down, whatever it is. So I think I'm looking when I see offensive talent, offensive line talent. I think they're going to get overpaid for because there's a lot of need out there for non-draftable talent at the offensive line position, people who actually have been in the trenches before.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put it out here. I'm going to say that I think the Rams need him.
Okay.
The Rams have a lot of issues going on with their offensive line. Joe Noteboom was not that great last year. Rob Havenstein's been playing right tackle. I know Noteboom has been playing left tackle more, and I don't know that Onwenu is the true fit there, but sometimes you say, let me try to go get someone. Kevin Dotson, who they have at right guard, is a free agent. I think that you just say, let me get someone who I know can be good and who can fit this one of multiple roles and bring him in. It feels like something that I truly believe would be something Sean McVay would really value in that offensive line.
That's a really good point. Really good point.
Well, let's go to another man who is not getting paid by Jerry Jones. Did his hand cramp up while writing a check, or did he just not have his checkbook available, Derek?
I think that he was working with the barber to give Dak the new haircut that everyone is just raving about. I don't see a major difference in it, but it was all over social media that Dak got a new haircut and his new look and blah, 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 blah. I think probably he was on his yacht watching that live stream versus remembering that he needed to write a check for his offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line is definitely not something I think the Dallas Cowboys typically like paying for. And while Tyron Smith has been very valuable for a lot of years, I think that there's a chance that Jerry is just not valuing him right now. He is 33 years old. All in all, in his career for the Cowboys, which is 14 seasons, I believe. 13 seasons so far. He's made $119 million. So we're not sitting here and being like, Woe is he, poor Tyron Smith. No, but at the same time, he deserves to go get his money and go get paid to go play. I think that there's a team in the division that's going to be drafting someone young and high. I think he goes to the Commanders. Yeah. I think that this is a, you go to the Commanders. They had gotten Wiley as a free agent last year at right tackle. Tyron Smith steps in at left tackle where they have a free agent. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, whoever they take, you want to have someone that you trust blocking. Tyron Smith can be that man.
You had exactly where I was going with that. They're going to change everything in the Commanders, new ownership, relatively new VP of player personnel, new coach, all that kind of stuff. They're going to go all in to get a quarterback for the future and protect that guy.
Well, let's go from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball where I think a true payday has been waiting and waiting, and he's ready for it. And that is Chris Jones, the defensive tackle. He's been on the Chiefs. He's been instrumental in their back-to-back Super Bowl wins. Derek, I'm sure that you would love to hear the news that he has signed anywhere that is not Kansas City. Where do you see him going?
You know, this is such a weird one because, you know, arguably one of the best defensive tackles over the last 5 years. But I don't think that he has anything left to prove. So I think that, I mean, cause he's got what, 2, 3? I don't remember if he was with there with the first one. Super Bowl rings. So like after a while, it's like, okay, well, you know, do I really need to go back to the Chiefs on a deal that pays me less money that I can go somewhere else? Cause I think he just wants to cash out at this point or probably needs to cash out. So, I mean, I think that you're looking at, you know, places that you can get help, like, where you're maybe not the only guy that's tackling people, and someone that's going to pay you a bunch of money. I don't have that off the top of my head of like where that would be per se. But I think that he's just looking for a payday at this point.
I think Chris Jones is going to take his talents to South Beach.
Really?
It'll be interesting because we'll get to this in a second because Christian Wilkins, who has been playing on that D-line, they did not tag him. They did not bring him back, despite the fact that he did really well. And he's been really valuable to them. I think that they're going big game hunting. I don't know if they had Tyreek, you know, reach out and say, hey, I didn't get paid in Kansas City, and here I am down here. Why don't you join the fam? It's beautiful all year round, and there's no state income tax. and Chris Jones said, you know what? I like the sound of that. And I just think that it's a big name leaving, big name coming in type of fit. I think that if Chris Jones were to go down there, I would definitely give Miami more respect as a contender this coming season.
You know, I mean, that's a really good point. I had not put Miami in my thoughts at all. Because I thought that they were going to bring back Wilkins. So, yeah, no, I mean, you make a lot of good points tonight, Caleb. I mean, like you normally do, but you're on it tonight.
Well, let's go to Christian Wilkins, Derek. So let's assume he doesn't go back to Miami in this instance. Where do you see a good fit for Christian Wilkins sliding into a defensive line?
You know, I don't know where his set of skills would work best. I mean, do you think that, like, does he follow Fangio? You know, do you think that there could be, where you're not rushing on every single down? And, you know, I mean, it's really good way of trying to think of like who needs a defensive tackle right now at that level and who's going to actually pay for them altogether.
I've got a team.
Okay.
And it's a team we've talked about today. I think that Seattle might be in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, the next player that's on our list currently leaving, they got let go of all their safeties. they're rebuilding. Mike McDonald, I think he values what that front pressure can bring. And I think that he would love to bring in a guy like Christian Wilkins and say, look, it's not about the back half of the defense. It's about the front half of the defense and really kind of bring the heat in on some of those quarterbacks like Brock Purdy, Matthew Stafford, and Kyler Murray in that division.
I mean, yeah, you know, definitely. I mean,
no one's ever disappointed to do that. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's a good point.
Let's go ahead and go to Leonard Williams, who was in Seattle. He did not get tagged. They didn't end up extending him, even though they traded, I believe, a second round pick for him in the middle of the year last year. It's a bit of an odd one because I don't know that there's one spot that I'm like, yes, this totally makes sense. They're going to bring in Leonard Williams. The main spot that I go to is he played for the Giants. He played for the Jets. I think he's more of an East Coast guy. I like putting him with the Commanders. I think that the Commanders, with all the spending that they're looking to do and all the investing they're doing, would love to be able to bring in someone like Leonard Williams on the defensive side of the ball as a free agent.
I mean, it's a good point. I don't want to put everybody on the Commanders, but at the same time, you make a good point. It doesn't... Because he's not that edge guy that other people like. Okay, we have a 4-3, or we like. He's not that type that he's always rushing. It's, you know, stop in the run, and it's that he plays a particular set of skills. You know what I'm saying? And finding that is going to be interesting where he actually does land.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and go to some edge guys to finish this off, because there are two names that I'm looking at that I think are pretty interesting. Danielle Hunter of the Vikings. He's been there for a while. It feels like he just hasn't found his right moment. And then Jonathan Grenard, who is definitely on the younger side of this list, who was rushing opposite of Will Anderson Jr. this past year. Derek, when it comes to these two edge guys that can probably play in that outside linebacker spot or kind of that DN spot, any spots that you are looking at and going, I really think that this is going to work out.
Yeah. So Danielle Hunter, I think goes to Arizona. I think that he would be good in a spot where they haven't, like, they had JJ Watt for his time, and ever since then, they really haven't had a name to just go out there and do something about it. And win a division with the Rams and the 49ers. Who knows what the Seahawks are going to do? I think that you're going to want to make something, you know, you want to put a spotlight on your defense. You know, who knows what happens with the quarterback situation and Kyler, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, let's start leaning on defense a little bit. And, I like that, because I like him in the Cardinals.
I like where you're coming from there. I'm going to go ahead and go with one for Grenard. And I think that it's probably amidst some cuts because the Chargers just are in a crazy spot with a lot of cuts, but I do think that they're going to find a way to bring in Grenard. I don't know if Bosa is not going to be there any longer. I don't know if it's Khalil Mack, but I think that they have to find a way to get younger and find some depth in the pass rushing ways. And I think that Jonathan Grenard, coming off of a solid season, being super young for the Texans, the Chargers are going to try to find a way to get this done. Maybe it won't be the Chargers, but that's just a team that I look at and go, dang, they've got to overhaul a decent amount of things. And I think that if they can bring in Grenard, it's going to make a big difference.
I mean, it's a really good spot, because they're going to want to redo a few things, new coaching staff, stuff like that. And you're, I think it's a good spot of it as any. We are going to see some shuffles soon, and there could be some spots that we haven't even thought about yet.
For sure. Absolutely. So I think it'll be interesting, Derek. I know that actually make sure that you are subscribed because you don't want to miss a single episode. And when we come back next week, Derek and I are going to be having reactions to where probably these players and more have gone in free agency, what their contracts look like, what it just kind of looks like as that legal tampering period has happened, and it's just crazy from the jump. So I know that occasionally we've done a draft of biggest free agent moves. I don't know if I want to do that or if we're just going to jump into it. But be aware. You'll want to make sure you catch that episode. If you want to tag us, do it on social media at our Twitter, which is at Brody Talk, BroDieTalk. We'd love to have a conversation with you there. And so on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Derek, thank you for listening to this episode. My name is Caleb Walgren, and we are signing out. Later, y'all.
Bye, guys.